following program is intended for mature audiences.
They used to bounce messages across the earth. Shows. Everyone in the old world had a show. Do you think there's still somebody out there? Sending shows? Who knows? Those are the planes of silence.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tom Savino coming from Burbank, California, live on Savino Veritas. Thank you for joining us. Commander in cheat. Commander in tweet. He's not yet the commander of anything except his own brain, but he will soon be the president, and we have a lot to deal with. The Trump effect. Country Trumpkins and the elite tonight.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory. Savino Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The gripes of wrath.
Crazy. A White House spokesperson has confirmed that President Barack Obama and Mr. Trump have been talking regularly. That's a big news story, yeah. And they didn't give any more details than that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is incredible. We actually got a hold of the audio from several phone calls. Don't giggle. This is real. Yeah. Phone calls between President Obama and President-elect Trump. And I think it's my duty to share these with you.
Hello, Barack, it's Trump. You know those gold medals you give out?
Presidential Medals of Honor?
Yeah, can I give them to anyone I want?
Well, there's a process.
I want to give one to Guy Fieri and all the girls from the GoDaddy.com commercial.
Hello?
Quick question, Kazakhstan.
What's your question?
What is it, some kind of a meat dish?
Kazakhstan is a country in Central Asia. It's bordered by China and Russia.
Gotcha. Follow-up question, do we need it?
Hello.
So, what do you have in the White House for toilet paper? Cottonelle, Charmin, Angel Soft?
I don't know.
I have to tell you, that quilted northern is terrific.
That's not really something I know much about.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm going to fly back to New York for all of my number twos.
Hello?
Now, how do I make a bill into a law?
Well, first Congress has to pass the bill.
Who's Congress? Am I Congress?
No.
Is Ivanka Congress?
No, she's your daughter.
She's hot, right?
She's a very attractive young lady.
You dog, you. I'm telling Michelle. Put her on the phone.
You know who I think you should call is German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
Angela Merkel? Are you kidding me? I'll call her if I have a boner that needs to go away.
Hello?
Barack, it's Trump. Another question. The guys in the black robes.
The Supreme Court?
Yeah. Are they like my Severus Snapes? Can they cast spells for me? Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who?
Who?
Obama, I think there's an owl eavesdropping on our call.
Very good.
I'm not kidding. I think a spy owl.
I've been thinking about what to call.
It's time for Who's Wit and Wisdom? Your judge, Donald Trump.
Wrong. Hello, everyone, and it's Miles Daly. Thanks for joining us today on Who's Wit and Wisdom with Donald Trump, our judge. The show that sees if contestants can identify wit and wisdom quotations from famous celebrities and people in the know. Let's welcome now our contestant, Joe the Plumber, Republican Joe the Plumber. Thank you for joining us, Joe. Today's categories are Antonin Scalia, Arthur Schopenhauer, Anna Witnauer, Steve Jobs, Margaret Atwood. Now, Joe, as you know, if you've ever watched Who's Wit and Wisdom, and I'm sure you have, Joe, if you are on our show, you need to identify the quotation. Identify who said the quotation, who said the wit and wisdom among those five people I gave you as the categories. I'll read you the quotation, Joe, and you tell me who said it. Antonin Scalia, Arthur Schopenhauer, Anna Witnauer, Steve Jobs, or Margaret Atwood. Are you ready, Joe?
I'm ready, Smile Daily.
Good, then now, if you get it correct, Joe the Plumber, you will hear this sound.
Sting, bing, bong, sting, bing, bong. Thank you very much.
Each time you hear that sound, Joe the Plumber, you will have won a promise of no reduction in your Social Security from Donald Trump.
Got it. Got it. I understand.
Now, Joe, if you do hear this sound...
Wrong, wrong, wrong.
I'm afraid that will indicate that your answer was wrong, and you will be expected to work in a concentration camp, installing the plumbing for future Mexican deportees. Is that okay?
Ooh, well, okay.
Okay then, Joe. Now here's the first quotation of wit and wisdom. Who's wit and wisdom? Who said this, Joe? Why is it that when we grab for heaven, socialist or capitalist or even religious, we so often produce hell? Was it Antonin Scalia, Arthur Schopenhauer, Anna Wintour, Steve Jobs, or Margaret Atwood?
Well, with the judge being Donald Trump, I'm going to have to say Jobs.
Wrong.
Ooh, I'm sorry, Joe the Plumber, but that is incorrect. I'm sorry. And that is 1 point against you. You may be installing some plumbing there in the concentration camps. Why is that when we grab for heaven, socialist or capitalist or even religious, we so often produce hell? That quotation was from the Canadian Margaret Atwood, environmentalist. Well, now, Joe, you can eliminate Atwood as a category. That leaves Scalia, Schopenhauer, Wintour, and Steve Jobs. Now, here is the next quotation. Wealth is like seawater. The more we drink, the thirstier we become. And the same is true of fame. Who said that, Joe?
Once again, with the judge being Donald Trump here, I think I'm going to have to go with Steve Jobs.
Wrong.
Ooh, I'm sorry to throw a wrench in the works here, Joe the Plumber, but that quotation was not from Steve Jobs. It was from the German philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer. I'm sorry, that's two strikes against you, Joe, and I think that Mexican plumbing job is going to be coming to you soon. That's a job for you, Joe. Okay, Joe, so Margaret Atwood and Arthur Schopenhauer are now eliminated from the categories. That leaves you just Scalia, Wintour, and Steve Jobs. Now, who said this? People respond well to those that are sure of what they want. People respond well to those that are sure of what they want.
I can't think of nobody who is as sure as what they want as the judge of the program here, and that's Donald Trump. And once again, because of Donald Trump, I'm going to have to say Jobs, Steve Jobs.
Wrong.
Ooh, Ooh, I'm so sorry, Joe. People respond well to those that are sure of what they want. That was said by Anna Wintour. Anna Wintour, the editor of Vogue magazine. Anna Wintour. Sorry about that, Joe. Well, Joe, that's three against you now. Let's see, three against you. We have eliminated Margaret Atwood. We've eliminated Arthur Schopenhauer. We've eliminated Anna Wintour. That leaves just Antonin Scalia and Steve Jobs. And there's only two quotations left, Joe, so let's wish you the best. Who said this? A man who has made no enemies is probably not a very good man. A man who's made no enemies is probably not a very good man.
Well, I know Donald Trump. Donald Trump has a lot of enemies, and he's a very good man. And he's a very good man because he creates jobs. I'm going to go with Steve Jobs.
Wrong.
I am so sorry, Joe. I am so sorry, Joe. That is incorrect. That was said by Antonin Scalia. Antonin Scalia, former Supreme Court Justice, who was now buried deeply into the ground, dead. Antonin Scalia. And, well, Joe, I'm real sorry, but you've gotten four of the five wrong. It's impossible, nearly impossible, to get the last one wrong. And that is, who said this? Remembering that you're going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose.
Well, I know that the judge of the contestants here show is Donald Trump, and he is more concerned about losing jobs. I'm going to go with Steve Jobs.
Bing, bing, bong, bing, bing, bong.
That's absolutely right, Joe the Plumber. Absolutely right. Jobs is the answer. Jobs is the answer. And because you've got one out of the five, you get the job, Joe the Plumber, of installing the plumbing in the concentration camps that will hold the Mexican deportees. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening and watching and enjoying Who's Wit and Wisdom.
Energy is no game. It's a vital part of our economy. But what if it was a game? We'd be A-Rod strapped to LeBron's back being thrown downfield by Tom Brady. Because we have only 5% of the world's population, yet we use 20% of the energy. We're beating expectations by 400%, according to my diesel-powered calculator. The point is, America is winning energy. If you watch TV, and I pray you do, you know that our nation's biggest potential employer is America's oil and gas producers. The reason you know that is a series of powerful energy ads which prove that the way to get this nation back on track is through coal mining, oil drilling, drill mining, coal oiling, oil milling, drill coaling, and droil milling. So here with more on the exciting opportunities provided by America's oil and gas producers is the attractively authoritative yet approachable woman from those ads. The following is a paid advertisement.
Thanks, Stephen. Big fan of you and your work on The Stephen Colbert Show. In today's energy economy, Americans are looking for real solutions, and America's oil and gas producers can bring those solutions today and all of tomorrow's today's tonight. And you can trust me because I'm speaking with a clear and soothing tone of voice. I'm speaking slowly so you know that what I'm saying is true. We are today's energy companies, not your dad's energy company. The one which existed in a statistically corollary but not proven to be causal relationship with his emphysema. we're forward-thinking, positive, and make generous use of uplifting background music because it connotes cleanliness. The fact is, America has some of the greatest energy resources on Earth, which, according to our guessologists' objections, if used in combination with technology yet to be invented or imagined, could sustain us for the next 6,000 years. Do you think any other country has those advantages? Think again. Then, think again about today's energy companies today. Also, jobs. Did you know that in terms of raw supply, the United States is the Saudi Arabia of coal? Or that we're the equivalent of two Saudi Arabias of natural gas? Without our reliance on fossil fuels, we would suddenly find ourselves the Saudi Arabia of not comparing ourselves to Saudi Arabia. Then where would we be? That's why we need an all-of-the-above approach to energy. That means exploiting yesterday's oil and gas reserves today, while exploring for tomorrow's energy of the future now. And that approach depends on policies like approving the Keystone XL pipeline to bring either 800,000 or a different big number barrels of safe, polite Canadian oil to American refineries. This pipeline would significantly jobs America's energy, power, security, safety. It's common sense. So join us. And together, we can work together to secure America's energy future and create jobs together. That's why, right here in America, today's energy companies have already begun to jobs tomorrow's energy by leveraging innovation and pioneers we've technologied. Clean future and jobs can work all of the above energy policy future now, as well as future jobs and energy job. Energy future policy jobs. And together the jobs we need to jobs our country forward towards a sunnier and jobbier energy job future. Won't you join us? Job.
Savino Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The gripes of wrath.
We pretty much know how you voted in the 2016 election. If you're listening to Savino Veritas, you're probably a left-leaning person if you haven't fallen completely over.
I don't think that's funny.
But on the record, here are how some of the celebrities voted in the 2016 election, starting with sports celebrity Tom Brady, quarterback and infamous for the Inflategate scandal, and ironically, a member, a quarterback of the Patriots. Not surprisingly, who do you think he voted for, Hillary or Trump? Trump. He voted for Trump. Birds of a feather flock together. Cheaters congregate to each other, and they deserve each other. Now, again, not perhaps too surprising, but the movie star George Clooney, who is a longtime Democrat supporter of Barack Obama, he has, of course, supported Hillary Clinton. Former actor, or still actor, and director Clint Eastwood. This should be no surprise. Clint Eastwood supported Donald Trump. He supported Donald Trump, and he was hopeful that he would be considered for some sort of empty chair.
Get this man out of here!
Perhaps when Trump was trying to impress women with his furniture buying skills, he was thinking about a showroom where Clint Eastwood was selling chairs. Albeit empty chairs, of course. Another actor-director is, of course, Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck, who is a supporter of Hillary Clinton. Wow. I'm sure that's no surprise. My intent here is not so much to surprise you, ladies and gentlemen, as to inform you. Beautiful blonde former Playboy model Kendra Wilkinson.
Oh, you are the sly one.
Beautiful blonde Playboy model. Yes, if you were thinking Trump, you're absolutely correct.
Bing, bing, bong.
I guess she wants somebody to grab her. And Trump did. On the other hand, she does believe in, and she does support pro-choice activity, pro-choice endeavors. So she is hasn't entirely consumed the Kool-Aid. Now, she's quite beautiful as I look at her here, blonde and buxom, and reminiscent of Trump's daughter.
I was hoping you'd give me that.
Someone who he would like to fondle, apparently. Actress Angelina Jolie is a big Hillary Clinton supporter, and of course, undoubtedly thinks Trump and her ex-husband are the pits.
What is wrong
this
with you?
This next one is quite a surprise. This is who Stephen voted for. Stephen Baldwin. Stephen Baldwin, brother of Alec Baldwin, the famous Trump impersonator on Saturday Night Live and definite anti-Trump person. His brother Stephen supported and voted for Trump in 2016. And he says, according to what I'm reading here, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but he says, Stephen says, he wants to see old-fashioned morals and prayer in schools again. And boy, and surely if anyone would put those things back into our society, it would be Donald Trump. Well, I'm sure the next family reunion of the Baldwins is going to be one to remember. Some of you may find this a little surprising, but it doesn't surprise me at all. And that is Dennis Rodman, basketball star, former basketball star, still celebrity. So,
you don't even know what
celebrity.
You're talking about. Try getting it out. Go ahead.
Supports Trump and voted for Trump. Now, I don't find it surprising. He's a very outlandish person. You think, well, he's going to be a liberal. But he has shown himself to be the person who gravitates towards crazy people, crazy dictatorial people, like the head of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. And certainly Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump are very similar in their maniacal, dictatorial nature. And the fact that they are both kind of round in shape, kind of like basketballs. Reality TV star and model Kendall Jenner supports Hillary Clinton. Another famous Jenner, perhaps a more famous Jenner, the former Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner, ironically or surprisingly supports Trump. As a matter of fact, I think it would have been wise of Trump if he put Caitlyn Jenner on the transition team. Conservative actor and gun rights activist and Joe the Plumber lookalike, Bruce Willis, of course, is a supporter of Donald Trump. His former wife, Demi Moore, however, was a supporter of Hillary Clinton. Black rapper Azalea Banks, like all Banks, is a supporter of Trump. Leonardo DiCaprio, of course, is a supporter of Hillary Clinton, a big activist for the environment, is certainly not going to support someone who is ready to burn us all down to the ground, including every redwood and plant in the universe. So Leonardo DiCaprio, understandably, is a Hillary Clinton supporter. Actress Stacey Dash, star of Clueless, is in fact Clueless, as she is a Trump supporter. And singer megastar Beyoncé, duh, is, of course, a Hillary supporter. Former heavyweight boxer Mike Tyson, of course, is a Trump supporter because Trump would lend him his ear.
This monster,
Ellen DeGeneres, of course, is a Hillary Clinton supporter and voted for Hillary Clinton. Perhaps a bit surprisingly, Kid Rock is a Trump supporter. He voted for Trump. Actress, comedian Sarah Silverman is, of course, a supporter of Hillary Clinton, who, of course, had been a very vocal supporter of Bernie Sanders. Of course, she spoke at the Democratic National Convention, and speaking at the Republican National Convention was has-been actor Scott Baio, and he, of course, was a and is a Trump supporter. Actress Meryl Streep, who I just saw last night in the movie Postcards from the Edge, where she portrayed Carrie Fisher, who we just lost recently.
I detest
lost Carrie and her mother, Debbie. But Meryl Streep was a very, very big and still is a very big Hillary Clinton supporter. Hulk Hogan, wrestler Hulk Hogan, Anytime you get a wrestler, just a wrestler, and I don't mean like an Olympic wrestler, I mean like the phony performing show business wrestlers, it has to be a Trump supporter because that's his Trump's whole persona, is the persona of a phony flamboyant wrestler. The beautiful Selma Hayek actress was and is a Hillary supporter. A man whose physical activities and being hit in the head many times has led to brain damage, Chuck Norris, of course, is a Trump supporter. Actor, American favorite Tom Hanks is, of course, a Hillary Clinton supporter.
Hi, Monica, how are you? You look lovely this morning. Bright and early. Monica, I gotta ask, how do you feel about the charges against Donald Trump, the sexual charges?
And this is extra news harassing Monica Lewinsky at the LAX airport.
Do you feel like he's fit to be president? Is there anything you can say, Monica? You know your voice counts.
5:30 in the morning.
I know.
You should be asleep. You should not be at the airport bothering people with your camera.
Your voice is very important. You do know that, right? A lot of people want to know what you think. Anything?
Please not do this. This is really embarrassing.
It's so important, you know? We're down to the wire. There's a lot of talk about Bill Clinton's history. Is that fair game at this point? Is there anything that you can say, Monica? Monica, anything? Who are you voting for? Can I ask that? Monica, everyone wants to know. Monica, nothing? Anything?
Well, witnesses did say, she said,
I don't care how big you are.
What got me on this whole rant to begin with was the tease that a magazine would reveal just who Monica Lewinsky voted for. And it promised to be, perhaps not the best choice of words, jaw-dropping. In Monica Lewinsky's case. But I think that Monica Lewinsky is a matured young lady now who has learned the good advice. Sometimes you keep your mouth shut.
Testosterone.
How you doing, Brooklyn? How you doing?
Hey, that's my De Niro, everybody. Of course you're looking at me. That's what you're paid for. You're looking at me. I must have that. I wouldn't have paid to look at you. Well, you, maybe, sweetie, yeah. I would pay to see you. Wait, I'd pay to see you. Hey, wait, I think I did pay to see you once. You, Vanessa, the young dresser? Right? I'm just teasing you, baby. Just teasing you, sweetie. Just teasing you. You know about teasing. That skirt, I'm sure you know about teasing. That's okay, senor. It's okay. Tease away. Tease away. I didn't mean to offend you at all. What? Did you lose your mood ring? I'm not sure you quite know how to feel about all this. Mal, I was in a T-bone accident the other day. This guy crossed the intersection, isn't he? Man, T-bone. It turns out the guy was a premature ejaculator. Comes out of nowhere. So here's you all looking at me. Looking at me. But when you look at me, Bill, the bold, the stock, the Rooney, product of Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, eater of cold pepperoni pizza for breakfast. You know, the kind even a Subway rat wouldn't eat. What do you think when you look at me? What word do you think of? Just your fine figure sitting on the floor. What word comes to mind? Yeah. Elite. He's one of them elite live snobs. You're an elite snob. I love doing, dealing with the clear and imminent danger of a Trump rain. A Trump rain, yeah. In Syria, huh? Are you in resistance? We all can do little things. We all can do. I boycott Trump businesses. Like Ritz. I stopped eating Ritz. You too. You just stop putting on the Ritz. Putting on the Ritz, yeah, out there. I know. No, I don't think Trump is affiliated with Ritz. So don't boycott him to protest Trump. You might not want to eat them for health reasons, but don't boycott them. Trump does own a big chunk of a building supply corporation, and that's why I boycott Home Despot. I shop no more at Home Despot. You should too, men, especially men. Men, I find it helps me getting out of doing projects around the house too. It's a big deal. Boycott Home Despot. Trump. How can we get through to the country Trump is voting for, huh? How? Well, I know we elite city, Brooklyn, far removed from the country Trump is way across the Nevada Valley, Maryland, and Staten Island. But he hasn't even started yet. He's not yet inaugurated. It's a pile of evidence. Corruption, treason, espionage, graft, bribery, and rigged elections taller than Trump Tower. And for your country, Trump is, let's say, higher than the Appalachians, okay? Look, I know they voted for him for the same reason mischievous boys know it's a bad idea to take a stick and hit a beehive full of bees, but they just want to see what happens. It's weird. We're destructive curiosity, yeah. Destructive curiosity. It's a sort of high to seek out the consequences of such danger. Yeah. They were curious high. Hi, Donald. I don't expect them to turn totally gay over this, but isn't it already time they became bi-curious? They should be bi-curious. Nice moment, that time. Let's see how life is without you. Bi. Be the bi-curious, that's what I think, yeah. Bye, Donald. Let's hope. But you know, it takes at least half a brain. It takes at least half a brain to see the truth about this guy. Get this. This is a quote from People Magazine, 1998. Quote from Donald Trump. He said, quote, "If I were to run, I'd run as a Republican. They're the dumbest group of voters in the country. They believe anything on Fox News. I can lie, and they'll still eat it up. I bet my numbers would be terrific." That's a quote. End quote. Donald Trump, people. But it takes half a brain to see through it. See that? It takes half a brain. That's all it takes. Come on, country Trumpkins. Get half a brain. But the Trumpkins, they're not very educated. I don't know if they went to a higher education beyond high school. I don't know. I think they may have met the requirements of graduation from college. Electable college. That's the only college they can get through. Electable college. Electable college has the same requirements as Trump University. The same thing they get through. We're living in a historic time. Yes, we are. History repeats itself. Hey, look, Uncle Steve, after too many meatballs and stuffing himself with whatever the pasta du jour is, with too much wine, he's a lot like history. He repeats himself. If we're lucky, he repeats himself belching. If not, it's a bomb. The bomb's away the other way. And when he goes bombs away the other way, where is he? The whole family says, "So Uncle Steve, either he repeats himself like history, or he makes history with explosive bombs." His family history. There's a rich thing. What a family I'm from. When I get together on the holidays, we wind up talking about Uncle Steve's farce. We wind up talking about it. You might want to say that. We wind up reliving his history. I'd rather be in a more gentrified family where history just repeats itself. So Uncle Steve can chime in with a belch every now and then while we're talking about the Yankees or the Mets. So the whole family either hides face down in the living room two cushions to avoid Uncle Steve's bombs, his bombs away after the holiday dinners, or when the coast is clear, we're all through with our own history repeating itself. We talk about Steve's most famous farts. That's what we do. Remember the time he ripped one off in church at Christmas midnight mass? Lord, do this. Do this, Spirit. Or the time he let go in the living room when David Wells threw the very last pitch in the perfect game. Man, he's timing. That one actually obstructed the TV screen with fart fog. Oh, yeah. We started calling the living room the dying room. Yeah, so that's my family. And somehow, reliving the history of farts, dodging little ones face down and plastic seat covers. Somehow, with all that, almost half of this idiotic nation calls me elite. Peeps are saying accurately, I think, that history is repeating itself with this Trump clown. Air Trump, I call him. His brain, his supporters are offended when I call him Air Trump. Why? Air means Lord in German. Yeah, he's German ancestry. His real name is Trump from Germany. My name was almost Bart. Bart the Bull Testosterone from Bartolomeo. But Mama Testosterone protested big time. She didn't want a boy here in America going around being teased with the name Bart. I have to agree now. I don't think it would have been too bright, Bart. But H-E-R-R is German. It means Lord. Trump is German. Heir is Lord. Trump is Lord. He's a landlord, right? He owns property, rents it out. He's a landlord. Lord Trump. Heir Trump. It all fits. Boy, I wish they'd run an O.J. trial again, this time with Trump. Trump is the defendant with his hands. The gloves would fit this time. But Trump gets it. They're offended when I call him Heir Trump. Of course I get it. I'm alluding to Hitler. I'm comparing the two, Hitler and Trump. And we, the elite, which I guess is the alt-right's code for literate. Oh, sorry, country drunkards. Literate means able to read. Scholars and historians point out the many similarities. Goebbels, the Goebbels biography, he said the regime continuously staged rallies designed to demonstrate the enthusiasm allegedly felt by the population for the regime. Those Nazi rallies. I have no delusion. Nearly half of the voting population here has real honest enthusiasm, a kind of Führer, F-U-R-O-R, you could say, for Heir Trump. But in doing that, they're blindly creating an American Führer. That Führer is spelled F-U-H-R-E-R. Trump wouldn't know that. He's the worst ever. And a tweet he wrote that China was stealing a submarine drone. He said it was unprecedented. Right after his inauguration, that's what the majority of the people would wish for in America. That as far as he's concerned, we become unprecedented as soon as possible. Yeah, you know, about the United States sanctions against Russia for installing him as our president due to the cyber attacks, he wrote, quote, "We ought to get on with our lives. We ought to get on with our lives and just drop it. Get on with our lives. On with our lives." His spelling is so bad and the lying is so great. I know he means we ought to get on with our lives. Lion Trump, man. But how dumb are those Trumpians? How dumb are they? They believe every piece of bullshit Spinny tweets out. He's supposedly saving 1,000 air conditioning factory jobs in Indiana. How? By bribing the company with $7 million for 10 years in Indiana taxpayer money. And what did the company do? They took the money and ran. At least they will soon to Mexico before Trump puts up the wall preventing me and other elites from escaping. Trump compared that air conditioning company's plan to leave. He compared it to a virus, a national corporate virus. Personally, I don't think the Indiana air conditioning factory exhibited signs of a corporate virus. I think, though, the air conditioning firm may have been just a carrier. Not one of my best ones either. Okay. AC, we're going to need a lot of AC. We're going to need a lot of AC with climate change global warming. I know Trump says it's a Chinese hoax, climate change, but I already can't stop looking at the temperature graphs of 2016. Right after 3 a.m. tweet storms, he pulls out temperature graphs of 2016. As if they were centerfolds. Some of you may remember centerfolds. I do, I'm old enough, I know. They're pre-internet porn of centerfolds. Trump is he's such a fucked up sexist. The only reason he looks at these graphs of 2016 as if they were possible to be grabbed pussies is only because he heard it was the hottest year to date. It was the hottest year to date. Yeah, the hottest year to date, yeah. Hey, look, maybe you can take 2016 out for the best furniture. Maybe a love seat. You can sit on one chair facing August, the hottest month. and lift the vertical column of the graph from August up and down to see if she'll go off the charts, so to speak. Anyways, if any of you's other elites have bomb-farting uncles out there like me, like my Uncle Steve, let's unite and have a flatulent roof loft and let one loose all at once in Trump's cabinet before history repeats itself. Hey, this is Bill Bolton, stop the room. Take care, everybody. Take care, everybody.
Friday, Donald Trump took an afternoon out of his busy tweeting schedule to attend a rally in Ohio, the purpose of which was, honestly, I have no idea. But we sent Jordan Klepper to find out.
Not even a month since the campaign ended with victory, Donald Trump was getting the band back together again for something.
The president-elect planning to visit those states that helped him secure a win for the White House.
A Trump victory tour.
A victory tour.
Now they tell us they want us to call it a thank you tour.
They're calling it a victory tour. I mean, I don't think we've ever seen that before.
They're calling it a thank you tour.
Right. No one in the media or Trump's camp seems to know exactly what this event is. So I went to Cincinnati to find out.
What is this?
We know what? We got a bunch of people who are really excited about Trump. They said we're going to get tired of winning. We're not tired.
He wants to let the people know that things are still going on. The stuff that he was still campaigning about, he's still going on. I mean, it's
almost as if he doesn't know when the campaign ends.
That's right.
What is it again? It's
victory tour.
It's a victory tour. Take another lap, right?
Yeah, take another lap. Why not?
How many of these rallies do you think you'll see in the first 100 days?
I'm going to go with 15.
It's like the never-ending tour.
The never-ending tour.
We don't have to do any work. We can just party all the
time. All day long. 24/7.
Somebody's going to have to run the country.
Yeah, well.
Just think, the Trumpster is our president, from apprentice to president. I love Trump.
It's incredible, right? It makes you want to blow your brains out. It's so mind-boggling.
Nick Jesus was right. This was a hell of a bash. While Trump has changed his tune on things like locking up Hillary and draining the swamp, these people were partying like it was October 2016. They had their signs and their background dabs, and they knew the lyrics to all the hits.
We're ready.
Yeah, build the wall?
Build a wall, drain the swamp.
Lock her up?
We're going to lock her up, of course.
Now, some people are saying she's a good person, shouldn't be prosecuted.
Well, they're liars.
Well, that person is Donald Trump.
Drain that swamp.
At least we know Donald Trump's not going to stand for having Hillary's elitist New York bankers anywhere near the government.
None of the bull.
Except for bringing in some billionaire bankers.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah, sure. So some of that bull.
I'm sure.
The Goldman Sachs guy, I mean, that is the swamp we want to drain.
Sure.
But also make Secretary of the Treasury.
Oh, yeah.
The swamp will be drained. Now, he does have a couple people like Steve Mnuchin, who was at Goldman Sachs.
You got to fill the swamp.
There's parts of the swamp they're going to come in. There's parts of the swamp they're going to, you know.
That's just not as catchy to say. So, yeah.
It's not, yeah.
Don't you want the most qualified person, even though it might be a so-called, you know, swamp member, lobbyist, or whatnot? Is that not the best thing to do?
Somebody who's the most qualified for the job, has the most experience, even if some of their background is suspect, that's the person who should have that job.
That's right. A common sense way of looking at things.
And that was, I think, Hillary Clinton's entire platform.
The point is, instead of spending time learning how to run the country or following through on campaign promises, having a rally like this just feels so good.
The bottom line is, we won. We won big.
I love you too. Look at this place. Oh, you're going to be happy. We're all going to be happy.
And I was finally starting to see exactly what this was. It was a big self-congratulatory pleasure fest in the round.
This is kind of our triumph.
And so you guys wanted to like kind of get together in a big circular area and just kind of help each other release some of the tension and celebrate.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. It's important for you guys to just all come together at the same time.
It's a sense of community.
Yeah, it's a circle jerk.
If you want to call it that, sure.
Yeah, it's a circle jerk. Well, good talking to you.
Good talking to you too.
Just
get ready, America. Your forearms are gonna be huge.
We are at war with Russia.
Or perhaps more correctly, we have lost a war with Russia without a battle. We are no longer a sovereign nation. We are no longer a democracy. We are no longer a free people. We are the victims of a bloodless coup. So far, a bloodless coup engineered by Russia with, at best, the traitorous indifference of the Republican Party and Donald John Trump, a man who, to borrow a phrase from another December long ago, will live in infamy. In 5 weeks' time, unless desperate measures are taken, we will hand over the government to a man who lost the popular vote by more than Woodrow Wilson or Jimmy Carter won it, a man whom the Russians wanted to run our country for them, a man whom the Russians got to run our country for them, a man for whom the Russians interfered with our elections, which, if we did it to another country, would be described as an act of war. And in this country, we have conceded defeat. Some experts, John Kasich's strategist, John Weaver for one, have compared this to Pearl Harbor. Even the hard right ex-Congressman Joe Walsh says Republican silence will be tantamount to treason. Some others, too, have proved courageous. Trump, self-destructive to the last, issued a childish statement mocking the CIA, but as Tim Dickinson of Rolling Stone noted, not denying anything. But the vast majority of Republicans have said nothing. And the vast majority of Democrats have said nothing. And the vast majority of the media has said nothing of substance. And the president has said nothing close to enough. The CIA and FBI and Homeland Security, the institutions whose interest in freedom we on the left most frequently distrust, they have said something. They said it first to congressional and Senate Republicans in September. Dire warnings, warnings that Mitch McConnell and other Republicans reportedly buried, warnings that the Russians, using computer hacking and perhaps other means, were not merely trying to discredit the election, but to achieve the specific outcome of electing their man Trump. And finally, at the very last hour, some of those who did those briefings and some of those who received those briefings leaked the details to the New York Times, the Washington Post, CBS News, Reuters, in a torrent of anguished honesty. They said something. They said something as the president-not-elect began to veer towards appointing as Secretary of State, as our diplomatic face to the world, the CEO of Exxon, who 4 years ago received the Order of Friendship from Vladimir Putin. They said something as the members of the Electoral College prepared to gather next Monday to finalize this coup. Some, perhaps unaware that almost half the states they represent permit them by law to vote for someone other than the candidate to whom they are pledged, and that only 38 of them need to do so to prevent this coup. They said something as one especially chilling detail in one of the reports sailed by that, quote, the Russians hacked the Republican National Committee's computer systems in addition to their attacks on Democratic organizations, but did not release whatever information they gleaned from the Republican networks. It is a short leap from that conclusion, and it is anything but a conspiracy theory to be wondering if the Russians hacked the RNC and have kept what they found there to make sure Trump and the Republicans obeyed. The President of the United States, who at this rate will be the last freely elected President of the United States, made in his measured way a small gesture last Friday that perhaps opened the door to these horrifying revelations of a coup by an outside power nearly complete. He asked for a full review, but we do not have time for a full review. Barack Obama has twice stood in front of America, in front of the world, in front of history, and said, I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Today is the time for him to do so. He must immediately declassify and release all relevant materials held by the FBI, the CIA, DHS, and the other intelligence and security services, and in the White House, and anywhere else in government. And the Attorney General must immediately appoint a special prosecutor to investigate what Donald Trump knew, and when he knew it, and what, if any, collusive links exist now or existed earlier between the Russian Federation and the Republican National Committee. If Trump does grab power, he can try to dismiss that special prosecutor, but he will at least have to get the courts to sanction him. And most immediately, the intelligence briefing proposed today for the Electoral College, what the CIA and the others know, when they knew it, how much the Trump campaign knew, that must be conducted without delay and without redactions. There are no arguments of security or face-saving or intelligence secrecy or national interest that carry any weight now. How much worse can it get by telling America the unvarnished, unprocessed, unredacted truth about this coup? We are already on the precipice of losing the freedom and independence of the nation. He must tell us so that we may defend ourselves. He must tell the electors of the Electoral College so that, microscopic as the chance may be, they could still prevent this cataclysm. There is no time for a full review or a measured analysis or recommendations to prevent interference in our future elections, because permitting Donald Trump to assume the office of president reduces the chance that we will have any future elections. The nation and all of our freedoms hang by a thread, and the military apparatus of this country is about to be handed over to scum who are beholden to scum, Russian scum. As things are today, January 20th will not be an inauguration, but rather the end of the United States as an independent country. It will not be a peaceful change of power. It will be a usurpation, and the usurper has no validity, no credibility, and no authority under the Constitution. This is a reality that will become the only reality until this country rids itself of Donald John Trump. He is not a president. He is a puppet put in power by Vladimir Putin. And those who ignore these elemental existential facts, Democrats or Republicans, are traitors to this country and will immediately and forever after be held accountable. Resist. Peace.
Thank you, listeners, for joining me once again on this Thursday evening and every Thursday evening on Savino Veritas, live from Burbank, California. 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, every Thursday evening on SRN1 at 148.ca/1, and 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, juicetalk.com. Please download the PDF file, Indivisible, Indivisible. Go to Google, indivisible.com, download the PDF file, resist this fascist regime. This is Tom Savino. I may be joking, but I am never kidding. Resist.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.